Romans chapter 10. And we are going to study verse 1 to 17, but for our reading, we shall only read verses 13 to 17. And this is from the NIV version. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please take your seats. Now, today will be the last sermon about our series, Who's Your One? Okay? Because next week, we are going to start a new sermon series, and the focus of our series next week is about the different offices of Christ. So, we go back to our main theme for the year, Rooted. And so, next Sunday, Palm Sunday, we will start a new series about the different offices of Christ. Right? So, there are so many titles attributed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Can you name one? What are some of the titles, office that Jesus Christ is holding? Messiah, King, Prophet, Priest, right? Savior, so on. Okay? So that will be our next season of study, focusing on the different titles given to our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning Palm Sunday. But we will finish our series about Who's Your One. Now, what is this Who's Your One? Perhaps some of you are just new. Who's Your One is our evangelistic campaign, all right? Who's Your One is that we challenge each one of us to focus on one person that we want to share the good news. One person that we want to bless, one person that we want to help, one person that we want to experience the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? One person each month. All right? So I hope that you have already your one. Okay? It could be a friend. It could be a relative. It could be someone that needs the help of Jesus. And who's your one is us being a friend to that person. All right? So if you remember, a few Sundays ago, we signed up a card, right? The name of our one, and then you put your name, and then we posted them at the back. You know, if you notice there on the wall of our entrance, you find there all these papers with your name and with the name of your one. Okay? Now, we want you to follow through those names, right? We want you to follow through those persons. So if your one, the one that you've signed there, is already, you know, you're starting to care for them, then please start to move them to the next. Our goal is that each of these people that we are praying for, that we want to help, that we want to share the good news, that we want to help in their problems, that they all come to the bring part. Okay? Because our goal is really to bring them to Christ. Amen? Our goal is to bring them to a knowledge, to a relationship of Jesus Christ. Because that is the only way our brokenness can be healed, when they have encountered Christ Himself in their lives. Do you agree? Amen? Now, today, our last lesson for this series, part 7, is entitled, The Call to Preach the Gospel. The Call to Preach the Gospel. And this is based on what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Just before Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, you know, he gave this call to all believers, to all disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, what is the gospel? Remember, the word gospel literally means good news, right? What is the good news? What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ came to save us from all our sins. You see, the number one problem of humanity is not money. It's not poverty. It's not health. The number one problem of humanity is sin. Because sin brings pain. Sin brings brokenness. Sin destroys lives. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys future. Sin destroys our soul. And nothing in this world can ever solve the problem of sin. And that's why God took the initiative. God sent His Son. We know that. We celebrate Christmas year after year, right? We celebrate Christmas because that's how God provided the answer, right? If our greatest need is our relationship with God was broken because of our sin, God took the initiative. He gave us His Son. That's the good news. Jesus died on the cross so that He could pay for all our sins, right? That's the gospel. And that's the one that Jesus wants us to share to all creation. All right? Now, what happened in the early church? Right? Few days or months probably after Jesus went to heaven and then the Spirit came to the church. What was the church doing? What were they busy about? In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, this is what the Bible says. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, notice this, they never stopped teaching and preaching the gospel that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? No wonder the body of Christ grew rapidly because everyone, it says there, they never stopped teaching and preaching the gospel that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus, the word Christ, literally means the anointed one, the Messiah. Okay? So that's what the church was doing, you know, all throughout her, you know, first few years of existence. And what happened today, the problem today, friends, is that we stopped doing it. Okay? We stopped doing it. We stopped preaching the gospel, and as a result, more and more people today do not understand, do not have the gospel in their lives. So, in our lesson today, last week, if you remember, we went to Romans chapter 1, okay? So, this time, I chose Romans chapter 10, okay? And here, I want us to learn three compelling truths about our call to preach the gospel. And once again, we have St. Paul. If you remember last Sunday, St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is what? The power of God for the salvation of everyone. So our lesson last week is that you and I should not be ashamed of something that can bring salvation. You and I should not be ashamed of something that can change lives of people for the better. We should not be ashamed. Now, our lesson is that what should we learn in order for us to be compelled to preach the gospel? As Christians, every one of us, we need to preach the gospel. Okay, can you please tell the person next to you? We need to preach the gospel. You need to preach the gospel. Okay, it's everyone's duty. It's everyone's, in fact, if you remember, we are indebted to humanity. Paul says, I am obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, right? So today, as we go to Romans chapter 10, I want us to learn three important lessons so that we will be compelled to take the call, the commission to preach the gospel. Are you ready? All right, let's begin with the first lesson. Write this down. First is we start with the compassion for the lost. Compassion for the lost. It starts with compassion. Now, what do you mean by compassion? What is compassion? Compassion has something to do with the innermost God. Your innermost God that tells you that I need to do something for this person. All right? That's compassion. All right? In fact, it literally means the gut. All right? To the very core. Right? You have this feeling of concern. Some would say compassion is love in action. Right? It starts there. We must have the compassion for the lost. Now, before we go to Romans, we have to go first to Christ, because what Paul is doing is simply a reflection of his imitation of Christ. Remember, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Okay? So, where did Paul got this compassion for the lost? It started from our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So, this answers the question, why are they not saved, the lost? Why are they not saved? Now, let's begin with Matthew 9:36. All right? One particular day, Jesus went to a town and, as usual, preached the gospel. When he saw the crowd, notice what the Bible says, he had compassion on them. It's like suddenly to the gods, you know, he's affected by what he saw. Because they were harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Notice the descriptions of the people. They were harassed, helpless, and like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what is a sheep without a shepherd? Do you have an idea? You know, the sheep, you know, the sheep, unlike any other animals, when you have a dog that is gone and then, you know, it's just outside, you call it a stray dog. Somehow that dog will survive, right? If you have a stray goat, somehow it will survive. You cannot have a stray sheep and that sheep will survive. In fact, the implication is that a sheep without a shepherd will not survive. It will die because they need a shepherd. They could not, sheep are defenseless. They could not defend for themselves. They're very fragile animals, right? And so when Jesus says they're helpless, they're harassed like sheep without a shepherd, he's saying, if I don't do anything with these people, they would die. And he's not just, listen, Jesus is not just focusing on the physical side of people. Yes, God cares for all our needs, our physical needs. But you know, the greatest need of man is not the physical. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. He wasn't just seeing the physical need of people. He was describing the spiritual condition of people. That these people were harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus was so affected to the very core of his being because these people need help. It starts there, okay? We would never dare share the gospel to people unless we are truly affected to the core of their condition, all right? Now, that's Jesus. Now, let's go to Paul now. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, all right? Let's begin with the first verse. And this is what St. Paul said in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Now, I want you to notice this emphasized words here. My heart's desire and prayer. Paul here is just trying to make himself vulnerable to his readers. He was just trying to tell them, if you want to know my heart, if you want to know my real concern, it's not that am I well-fed. It's not that I have a house. It's not that I have convenience. You know, St. Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer is one thing. And what is that? That they may be saved. See? Just like Jesus. The concern of Paul, St. Paul, when he was writing to these Christians in Rome, he was telling them, if you want to know what's in my heart right now, my real prayer, my real desire, my real concern is that I want my fellow Israelites to be saved. See? So his intention is really for the salvation of his fellow Jews. Now, why did I choose this chapter for our sermon today? Because I want to make a parallel here. Like, Paul is so concerned about his fellow Jews. Now, here's my point. As Christians, all right, you are here because you call yourselves Christians, right? What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who loves Jesus, who is a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, someone who has a relationship with Jesus, all right? Now, if I'm describing you, then you're a Christian. Now, my desire is that we who are gathered here in this worship service would have the same concern and compassion, not for the Israelites. You know, we want to do that, but first and foremost, to our fellow Filipinos. Because there are, how many Filipinos are there now in the Philippines? To be exact, 100-something, right? 100-something million. Okay? Can somebody check on that? Google. What's the population of the Philippines? There are more than 100 million people in the Philippines. All right? And if you're a Christian, you're happy because you're a Christian. You're happy because as a Christian, you still have problems. You still have to deal with traffic. You still have to deal with you know, rising of commodities. But you don't have to worry about eternity, right? Because if you're a Christian, you know where your eternity is. Because if you're a true Christian, you know that you're going to heaven. But I want you to let us concern ourselves with the rest of the 100 million in the Philippines. Where will this 100 million Filipinos go when they die? In fact, maybe some of these 100 million Filipinos are still with us. Perhaps you don't know. What if you die tonight? Where will you go? Where will your soul go? I know where your body will go. Your body will be buried. All right? It depends on your decision. If you want to have you speed up your decomposition, then probably you want your body to be cremated. All right? But it's not a question about your body. It's a question about your soul, because the soul will still survive. Where will your soul go? See? Because that's eternity. A lot of people today are only thinking of their physical life. You know, I have house, I have comfort, I can eat, I can enjoy. A lot of us are just being blinded that life is just here and now. But that's a lie. Because this is not all about life. This is only a portion about your whole life. And I'd like to use an illustration, all right? You see, some of us, all right? I hope I could write something. Anyway, a lot of us, just imagine, you know, this is you and me here. This is your life, this is my life. We focus so much on this, you know, every day we work hard so that we can enjoy, so that we can provide for our families, right? I mean, that's good. You work so hard. Some of us work double hard so that we can have more convenience than the others. We are so focused on this, we thought that this is the only life we'll live. Like, let's just say that you're having a healthy lifestyle, so you will survive. You will have a 100-year-old life here. So this is your 100-year-old, all right? And this is what Satan wants you to believe, that all you have is this, and so you better make most of it because this is what you have. The truth is, this is what you have. This is your life. A lot of us do not see this life. We focus on this life. We ignore God because this food, you know, house, cars. I'm not saying food, house, cars are bad. But what I'm saying is this. If that's the only focus of your life and you neglect this, this is what will happen. This life will soon end. And this, you have eternity. Now, what happened if God has no part of this life here? This will all be thrown in hell. Why? Because you only focus on your 100 years. What is 100 years to eternity? See? Your 100 years of life here on this planet is nothing. That's what St. Paul saw. That's what Jesus saw when he saw the crowd. He wants us to be saved. Right? My prayer, my desire, and prayer to God for the Israelites. And maybe you can replace the word Israelites there with your one. My prayer, my desire to God for, let's just say your one is named John. For John, is that John will be saved. See? Well, you can ask me, can you also include, Pastor Mac, you know, more blessings, like, you know, more money, more comfort? Yes, I can pray, you know. But for me, the most important thing is your salvation, right? Because we don't know when this life will end. Do you know? Do you think those who died yesterday, they receive a text? To whom this may concern, you will die next week. Prepare. How I wish life will be like that, so that I can prepare. But no, death will come to you anytime. All right? Death will come to you. That's why salvation is so important. Now, let's go back to chapter 9, because in chapter 9, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, Paul expressed the same compassion. Notice this. Verse 2. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Now listen. Feel the heart of Paul. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For what? For I could wish that I myself will curse and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. You know what Paul is saying? He is so burdened with his fellow Jews that he was saying, Lord, will you allow, Lord, I'm willing to go to hell. I'm willing to be cut off from being saved for the sake of my fellow Jews. In other words, you know, he's a very heroic man. He's willing to go to hell. Of course, that's not possible. He's willing to be a curse, anathema, cut off from Christ, so that his people, the people of Israel, will be saved. See? Now, again, while we want the nation of Israel to believe in Christ, let's be nationalistic for a while. Our goal is that our fellow Filipinos will be saved. I'm talking about your immediate family, your relatives, your parents, all right? I'm talking about your group of friends, your beshies, your pare, All right? I'm talking about them. Do you have compassion for them? Now, what's wrong with them? Why do you think Paul has this burden? Why is he willing? In fact, he's willing to cut off his salvation from Christ so that his people will be saved. What's wrong with these people? Now, let's go to verse 2. Okay, going back. Chapter 10, verse 2. Going back. Paul says, "For I can testify about them." Who is this them? He's talking about what? The Jews. "For I can testify that they are zealous for God." Now here, I can see parallelism with us Filipinos because we are so proud. In the Southeast Asia, we call ourselves the only what? The only Christian nation. All right? It's like some tourists will say, "Welcome to the Philippines, the only Christian nation in Asia, but watch out for pickpockets." Isn't that ironic? The only Christian nation in Southeast Asia, but the most corrupt. See? And if you look at our nation, we're so religious. We're so zealous for God. Can you imagine? Every city has a specific feast to a specific patron saint. We're religious. And friends, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Let me be clear. We are so religious, we are so fanatics, we are so spiritually inclined to God. In fact, even during Lent season, even bad people suddenly become what? Religious. Diba? Bad people, mga palahubog, suddenly mo volunteer, ako'y magpalansang karun. Ako'y magpalatigo. Why? Because we have this concept of what? You know, indulhensya ni. See? Because we have that concept that, you know, somehow I can gain acceptance with God if, you know, I participate in, I mean, you know what happened, you know, like in the Black Nazarene in Manila, our very own pit senior in Cebu. See? What do you notice? We Filipinos are zealous for God. I'm sure others are celebrating for the wrong reason. But, I mean, to be fair, majority of these people nga magsikit yun, you know, pwede na gani, madatugan, no? There's a stampede. And what's the purpose? For them to touch the Nazareno. See, what do you call that? Zealousness for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Here's the bad thing. Paul is saying, "I can testify about them. They are zealous for God, just like the Jews, like very much like Filipinos. Very religious people." See? But here's the problem. Their zeal is not based on knowledge. Very true to the Filipinos. A lot of us are so religious, you know, we are very fanatics, and most of the time, we don't know what we are doing. We're simply doing it because this is what Lolo Lola did. Okay? And that's true to the Jews. See, Paul is so concerned because his fellow Jews are so zealous with God. They're sincere. They're so sincere with God. But listen, friends, you can be sincere with God, but you can also be sincerely wrong. See? It has nothing to do with passion. It has nothing to do with sincerity. It has to do with, is what you are doing in line to what God said in His Word? Because a lot of times, we Filipinos are truly zealous, but just like the Jews, we are not basing our zealousness with the knowledge of God. All right. Now, three failures of the Jews I'd like to outline here. First, look at this. Verse 3. "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God." They did not know the righteousness that comes from God. What is that? I call that they were ignorant. Isn't that true to the Filipinos? A lot of us are practicing religion, but we are practicing it blindly. We are ignorant. And then, you know, you attend Bible study, and then some of you started to come here. All right? Now again, this worship is open for all Catholics, non-Catholics. By the way, just to be fair, how many Catholics are here? Just raise your hand. Be honest. How many Catholics are here? Come on, raise your hand. All right? See? Higher. Right? See? So, a lot of times we practice religion, but we are not aware until we read the Bible, we do Bible study, and we say, ay, kibaw, sala na ito, pastor. Karoon pa ko kibaw. See? Ignorance. See? A lot of us are just ignorant. We go through the motion of religion, but we don't know exactly what we are doing. Abasa, gipaina na raman mi. All right? Remember mo atong story. Remember mo atong story nga, you know, this story of a family that they have this tradition nga when they cook a embutido. You know what is embutido? They have this tradition nga the embutido para lami gyud kay. This is the embutido of Lola. Ang isig katumoy, Lola would always cut it. And so all the rest of the generation, that's what they do. They cook embutido and then they cut the tumoy-tumoy. They just say, unsa may labot, ana? Wala lang, mulami ang embutido if you cut its tumoy. And so one of these mothers, you know, in the family, she's not satisfied with the explanation. Why would great-grand Lola cut the tumoy? And then everyone simply says, well, that's what they do. Probably that makes the embutido yummy. And then she researched until she found out na si Lola giday, why putlon to? Because ang sugangan gamay. Di masud ang embutido, putlon. Pero they followed it blindly. That's us, Filipino Christians. See? We're practicing a religion, but ignorantly. See? A lot of the things we do, God says do not. But because we are ignorant, we are doing it. All right? Like for example, Paul talks here about the righteousness that they do not know. All right? What is righteousness? All right? The Greek word, dikaiosune, literally means right standing with God or approval with God. That's basically the theme of Paul in the book of Romans. All right? Because just like the Jews, we Filipinos, we want to be approved by God, right? In fact, that's the very reason why we do religion. Because we know we are sinners. And somehow, because we know about our sin, we want to do something so that somehow God will accept us. And so we do all sorts of rituals, all right? We do all sorts of religious activities because I know I'm a sinner, but may nalang makuha na kong sala para dawaton ko sa Ginoo. That's the concept, right? Wrong. Because we cannot just become right with God. The righteousness that God is offering is not a righteousness that is from you or from me. Because the righteousness that comes from you and from me, it's a faulty righteousness. Imperfect. None of us can be right before God on our own terms. Right? This righteousness, this approval before the side of God is from God, not from us. Because if it's from us, we are just imperfect. Right? We can never be right. No matter what I do, I don't know, you try it. Try to be right with God a single week. You will just be frustrated. You will fail. And that's why the good news is this. Look at Romans 3:22. This righteousness from God comes, notice this. This is very important. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. See? To be right with God, according to the Bible, has nothing to do with your religiosity, with your zealousness for God. It says there, this righteousness, my being accepted, my being right with God, comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you did not crucify yourself on that cross. It was Jesus who died on your place and my place. A lot of Filipinos don't understand what Jesus did on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross is this: He did what no one else can do. Jesus paid things that you and I owe God. He died on the cross. He finished everything that is necessary. Everything that is necessary for you and me to go to heaven, Jesus did that on the cross. You don't have to add anything, all right? Your morning prayers, rosary, or coming to church, or whatever sort of religion that we do, even among us, you know, I'm not just talking about Catholics, I'm talking of people in general. All our religion, there's nothing we can add when what Jesus did was already perfect. Can you make a perfect more perfect? Yes or no? If it's already perfect, can you add anything to it? No. What Jesus did on the cross was a perfect sacrifice. You don't have to add. So what should I do, Pastor, in order for me to make come right with God? Because Jesus did everything, all you have to do is to trust Him, to put your faith in Him. Amen? That's what this verse says. Righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. But the Jews were ignorant of this. A lot of Filipinos are ignorant of this. All right? Let's continue with verse 3. Okay? Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, ignorance, notice the second phrase, and sought to establish their own. So these Jews were not only ignorant, they were inventive, just like Filipinos. You know, being inventive in some other places is good. You know, unsa man ay Bisaya aning being inventive? When applied to the Filipinos in the right way, huh? Unsa man atong pagka inventive? What do we call that? What's the term? Come on, say term, ana. Maayo tao gunsa. Maayo kay taog mga rockets. Sa pa? Maayo kay taog, there's a word, I forgot the word. Discarte, yeah, that's the one. You know, we manage, but I mean, we are resilient people. You know, when we are cornered, you know, we manage to make discarte and somehow, all right? At some points, that's good. But when it comes, listen, but when it comes to God and worship of God, there's no place for discarte. We have to follow. See, God wants us to approach Him in His own terms. Remember the story of Abel and who's his brother? Cain and Abel. I mean, both of them sacrifice. But why do you think Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's sacrifice rejected? See? When we try to be inventive. You know, Lord, you know, this is how I want to worship you, Lord. See? But God says, you worship me based on how I want to be worshipped. We cannot just be inventive. That's why the Bible says they not only did not know the righteousness that comes from God, they sought to establish their own. In other words, they tried to become right with God on their own terms. Is that good? No. Because we're talking of the sovereign God. We are creatures. We cannot come to God and demand, Lord, this is how I want to pray to you. This is how I worship you. God says, who is the creator here? See? But a lot of us are not only ignorant, but we try to be inventive in our religion. See? We try to make our own way to God. Not only that, third, look at the last phrase. They did not submit to God's righteousness. They tried to come up with their own way to be right with God. Lord, this is how I can be right with you, Lord. See? Because I cannot pray, I cannot read, I cannot go to church. I'll just give millions to the church, Lord. Okay na na, Lord. See? We even try to bribe God. We don't submit to His righteousness. So, we are ignorant, we are inventive, and third, we are insubordinate. See? We don't want to submit to His will. We want our own will. And as a result, what happened? When people are ignorant, inventive, insubordinate, what's the result? Misery. What happened to the Jews when they were ignorant, inventive, or insubordinate to God? When God saved them out from Egypt, and they were persistent with their rebellion, what did they experience when they were in the wilderness? What's the word? Miseries. See? You know why a lot of us are miserable in our life? Because we want to make God out of ourselves. We are not God. See? You know? Makakwarta lang itagdaghan, murag feeling na nato God. See? Ignorant, inventive, insubordinate. That's what happened to the Jews. See? All right, let's move on to verse 4. But what did Paul say? Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Paul is saying, don't try to invent your own ways to be made right with God. See? God already made a way. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's the good news that we need to preach. Especially here in the Philippines. Why we need to tell the good news in the Philippines? Because a lot of Filipinos are ignorant, inventive, insubordinate. See? A lot of Filipinos, this, in their hearts, they want to worship God, but they worship God in the wrong ways. And Paul is saying, Christ is the end of the law. Literally, Christ is the culmination of the law. Right? You don't have to work yourself up there in heaven because God already reached out through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? So that there may be what? There may be righteousness. Take note, you don't have to earn righteousness before God. God gave that righteousness. How? For everyone who believes. See? So, we know that the people are lost because they are ignorant, inventive, insubordinate. What should we feel towards these people? Just like Paul. Dilita mayon nga, mayra. Okay? Dilita mayog mayra. Gahi magulo, pastor, bayra na, maimpirno. No, no, no. That's not how Christians feel. What should we feel? Like Paul. Compassion. Do you know someone who are like that? Have compassion for these people. See? Have compassion for these people. You know, I'd like to move to the next. Sorry. Okay, I'm very sorry. I have to skip some few verses. I'd like to focus directly on the second point. Right? So, compassion for the lost. Okay? I have no time to deal with verses, I think, 5. All right? 5 to 8. Let's go immediately to the second. So, first, we need to have compassion for the lost. Okay? If we want to focus on our calling to preach the gospel, it starts with the heart. Do you have the compassion for these people? People who are insubordinate, people who are ignorant, people who are inventive of ways to make right with God. Compassion. All right. The next part of Paul's letter, 9 to 13, talks about the confession. So from the compassion to the confession in the Lord. Again, let's follow through. Paul is saying, these people, his fellow Jews, they are lost. Why are they lost? Because they are ignorant, because they're trying to find their way to God. They make their own righteousness, and they don't submit to God's righteousness. So therefore, let's ask the rhetorical question. Therefore, how are we to be saved? Okay? If we cannot save by our own religion, if we cannot save by our own zealousness for God, if we cannot save by our own practices of our religiosity. So the question is, how then can these people be saved? Okay, that's the question. And that's where Paul answers in verse 9. Look at verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, and now listen, this is very important because this is how people are going to be saved. If the first part is that our compassion for them, for the lost, that they be saved, this tells us how can they be saved. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, notice this, you will be saved. Now, this is how we respond to the gospel. Paul used two important words here. Confess, believe. The word confess, you know, homologeo or homologea, literally means what? To agree. All right? You agree. You know, you make a declaration of your agreement. Right? It means that you accept that fact. That's the truth. All right? Homologeo, homologeia. It means, you know, you are in agreement. You profess that this is the right thing. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The other word is believe, same as faith. To trust, you know. We already studied faith last week, right? Remember, there's three levels of faith. It starts with a first is knowledge, right? And then there's the agreement, and then there's trust, the fiducia, okay? Now, take note, this word, confess, believe, what's the result? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what's the result? You will be saved. I mean, honestly, brethren, do you know if you are saved or not? Okay? Not by raising of hand, no? If I ask you, are you saved? How are you going to reply with your head? Is it, or murag ka ng, murag imong cellphone, gagatuyok-tuyok pa ang data? Are you saved? Okay? Are you saved? Okay? Because this is very important. How are people going to be saved? And the Bible is very clear. You confess that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart. And by the way, cardia, according to Christ, you know, it refers to the, you know, the very core of the human being. Remember, Paul says, out from the heart comes what? All the sin, the deceit, the desires. So it's really the innermost part of the self. So when Paul says, believe, and by the way, the tenses here are important, aorist tense, subjective mood, okay? It speaks of what? It speaks of the completeness of our decision, the decisiveness, okay? Aorist tense, we don't have aorist tense in English, all right? But it has something to do with, you know, a moment, a point of action. And the idea here is that of the completeness of your decision. That when you confess with your mouth, that when you believe in your heart, there is that completeness, that wholeness, the decision that yes, I confess, I agree that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe in my heart. Now, what is this to the Romans at the time? Remember, this is the letter to the Romans. What is the significance of confessing that someone is Lord? You know, historically, during the time, the Roman citizens were asked to make a confession. You know, the emperor would want them to acknowledge something. And what would the Roman citizens confess? In fact, there was a time that if you don't confess this, you will die. What are they made to confess? That Caesar is God. See? And that's where a lot of Christians were considered atheists. You know why? Atheists? Because these Christians who are part of the Roman Empire do not accept that Caesar is God. Because that's what the Romans believe, that their emperor is God. The moment you become an emperor, you are elevated to the divinity. Okay? So every Roman citizen are made to confess Caesar is God. But here, Paul used that, you know, that confession and says, this is how you're going to be saved. You confess with your mouth, in which that confession comes from your heart, that Jesus is Lord. And when you say Jesus is Lord, the same way how the Romans would confess Caesar is God or Caesar is Lord, it means that in your heart you believe that Jesus is truly God. That you believe that yes, indeed, he died, he was buried. And indeed, historically, the Jesus that I believe is a risen Savior. See? That's what you need to believe, that God raised him from the dead. Now, that's how people are saved. Believe. Faith in your heart. In other words, with all your whole person, with complete decision in your life, you made that confession that indeed, there's no other name that saves me except Jesus. And what's the result, brethren? You will be saved. See? Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart. Now, in verse 10, if you notice in verse 10, Paul simply repeats that. Notice? He explains it. It is with your heart that you believe. It is and are justified. The word justified, by the way, is the same word as right or righteous. It is with your heart that you believe and you are made righteous. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Okay? In other words, friends, you're not talking here of two steps to salvation. No, these are not two steps. There's only one way to salvation, faith. See? That's why we believe in sola fide. Sola fide. By faith alone. Remember? So, why is this confession in your mouth? Because your mouth will validate what's in your heart. See? I will never know what's on your heart if you don't say it. That's why in another instance, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do I know if you're an evil person? I don't see your heart, Jesus says, but I can hear your words. If you're speaking bad words, surely Jesus says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? So when you're always speaking bad, you know, you're always speaking negative words. You're spewing out. You're like a dragon. You're just breathing fire. Even if I don't see your heart, I know what's going on there because of the words. On the same way, in the same manner, our heart expresses. I mean, the expression of our faith in our heart must come out from our mouth. All right? With your heart, with your mouth, there's decision, there's completeness. All right? It's a real fact. It's like, you know, in this sense, by the way, here the tense changed from aorist to present. It's with your heart, you believe. With your mouth, you confess. It simply speaks about, you know, the factuality, that it's a real fact. It really happens. Indeed, in your heart, you truly believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you don't try to earn your way to heaven. You just have to trust Him. That's real Christianity, brethren. Amen? Now, let's go to 11. It says in verse 11, as the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will never be what? Will never be put to shame. That's true. Paul here has in mind, you know, one day, in judgment day, we will all be facing God on judgment day, whether you believe it or not. One day, you and I will face God, and books will be opened according to Revelation chapter 20. Books will be opened, and what do you find in these books? Everything that you have done. Everything that I have done. And guess what? If you're a sinner like me, there are things that we have done that are shameful. Am I correct or am I right? Even if you're a pastor like me, even if you're a good person like me, surely we've done things, we've thought things that are shameful. And you know what? The Bible says on the big judgment day, there will be books, books will be opened, and all your life are recorded. Can you imagine? Pastor Mackey come forward. And then, March 16, 2024, this is what you did when your wife was gone. This is what you did, you know, when nobody was watching. That would be very shameful, right? I mean, can you imagine everyone hearing, Minka, Lord, can we have privacy? Can we just talk, Lord, kita lang, Lord? People are listening. Some of my members are listening. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, friends. Those things will not happen. You know why? Because when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened to all the records of your sin? What does the Bible say? They're all forgotten. Though your sins are as red as scarlet, they shall be what? They shall be white as snow. Inig open sa books, there's no sin there. You know why? Because Jesus died for my sins. Amen? Jesus died for your sins. And all it's written there is paid by the blood, paid by the blood, paid by the blood. Listen, on the other hand, if you do not believe in Jesus, if you are not saved, if you ignore the good news, your books will be open. And since you did not believe what Jesus did, then you will still pay for your sins. All your sins there. See? That's why the Bible says, everyone who believes in Him, in some other translation, will not be disappointed, will never be put to shame. See? Why? Because my Jesus Christ paid for them. My sins are all gone. See? It's gone. There's nothing there except the writing that Jesus died on the cross for all my sins. See? That's the good news. But if you refuse to receive the good news, if you refuse to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, guess what? Who will pay for all your sins? You will have to pay every single one of them in the fires of hell. See? Because you rejected Jesus here on earth, there's no one who will save you there. That's why now is the time to be saved. Amen? Now is the time that you need Jesus. Especially when you know how sinful you are, how sinful I am, and I cannot save my sins. See? Only Jesus Christ can do that. Now, towards 12 and 13, Paul introduces... And by the way, he's quoting Old Testament verses, all right? A while ago, he was quoting Deuteronomy. He was quoting Exodus. And this time, he's quoting, right? Look at verse 13, Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Okay? He simply repeats what he's saying. And this time, he's using a different word. At first, he talks about believing in your heart, right? Confessing with your mouth. And then in verse 12 and 13, he uses another word, call. Right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, are you in a bad situation? Okay? Years ago, when I was just a teenager, you know, when there was a ghost coming, who you gonna call? Mutubag dahil may mga bata, Ghostbusters! But really, when there's problems in your life, when you know you're in big trouble, who are you going to call? Pastor Maki? Sorry, I cannot help. It's Jesus. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that comes from your heart. Okay? How do you express that to God? You call on Him. All right? I would say that the very first step, you see, faith, listen, faith in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, you know, we memorize Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. I'm sorry, it's not here. It's what? A gift from God so that no one should boast. Nobody will be in heaven and says, I'm in heaven because I'm better than you guys. I'm in heaven because I'm more holy than you. No one. No one will be boasting in heaven. He's in heaven because, you know, his prayers are longer. His tithes are bigger. No, no, no. No one. No one can boast. Because the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So friends, faith itself is a gift from God. Okay? It is something that you don't have a moment ago and then suddenly you have. It happens even faster than the twinkling of an eye. You know, you start coming to church without faith in God. You're listening to the word and then suddenly, boom, God gives you faith and then suddenly you start to believe. Right? This preacher is right. I need to be saved. Friends, the very first step that you will know that you have faith in God is when you call on the name of the Lord. All right? I mean, just this crazy illustration. Just the same way as a you know, the giving birth of a child, of a baby. You know, we have mothers here. That's what it's like being born again. That's why, remember, who was that man whom Jesus says, you must be born again? Nicodemus, all right? Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, should I go back to my mother's womb? So he's thinking of physical birth. But Jesus is talking, it's like Nicodemus was talking physical, Jesus was talking spiritual. Wag yun nag-abot. All right? And Jesus explained, see? Like, when a person is born again, it's the work of the Spirit. You came here not born, and then you are given birth. Now, the child has no control over his birth. Okay? It's the mother. The mother will give birth to the child. Well, you cannot say that to the child. The doctor will not say, okay, I think Nana is here. I saw Nana. Nana, we have an OB-GYN here. I don't think Nana would say, come on, little John. Come on, little John. Push, push. No. It's the mother. Right? Dili ang baby. Pero what is the very first thing that the baby does to know that that baby is born? Mayon siya present. Cry. See? That's the very first thing the baby does when that baby is born into this physical world. You cry. On the same way, brethren, the very first thing that a person given faith by God, when you call on God. Because before, you dare not call on God. You don't need God. See? But once the Holy Spirit starts the faith inside of you, you call on God. And that's why everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why? Because that faith is there. See? Faith is a gift from God. How do I know I have faith in God? When I start calling on God. And that makes sense because those who believe in God are saved. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what is the name of the Lord? What is the name of the Lord? You know what the Bible says? There is no other name given by heaven by which man can be saved. Only one name, Jesus. Remember what the angel Gabriel told Saint Joseph. Joseph, you are to call this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. My dear friends, listen. The only name that you need to call when you need saving. And I'm not just talking about saving from hell. I'm talking of all sorts of saving because every day we need saving, right? We need saving every day because every day we come across problems. We come across challenges. We need to call on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Compassion for the lost, confession. Make that confession. Make that call. And you will be saved. And then finally, I'm just be quick here. Commission for the labor. Commission for the labor. Compassion for the lost. Confession in the Lord. You have to confess that Jesus is your Lord. Commission for the labor. Look at this. Paul, in verse 14, made a series of rhetorical questions. How then? See? Remember, in verse 13, Paul ends, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here's the problem. How will the 100 million Filipinos call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? See? These are rhetorical questions. How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Brethren, this is where you and I come in. Those of us who are already saved, those of us who consider ourselves born again. And then perhaps suddenly some of you will say, ay, born again, din akong giapilan. Di mo ko ganahan ma-born again. Born again, din eh. Nailad ko. How many of you think, di ko anang born again. Kay, kuan mako, purtis mako, katoliko mako. See? Let me just clarify your ignorance. Born again is not a religion, it's not a group. The born again I'm talking about is what Jesus said in the scripture. Read your Bible, John 3, verse 3. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the born again I'm talking. I'm not talking about the groups. All right? But imin ka, Pastor, born again ka? Yes, born again ko. Pero ang simbahan dili born again. Kaya ang simbahan di na ma-born again. Ang taura. Is that clear? All right? That's where you and I come in. If you are truly experiencing the new birth of Christ, you know what the Bible says? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet. Come on, look at your feet. Look at the other person's feet. Is that beautiful? Needs more, kuan pastor. More spa. Okay, more grinding. Okay? Sometimes, maulaw ta mo tanaw sa atong feet. Mo nang nindot atong sapatos. Because inside that beautiful shoes, you know. See? What makes your feet beautiful? You know, sometimes we spend so much with foot spa, with our shoes. But I tell you, what really is a beautiful feet, listen, are the feet that bring good news to others. Amen? If your feet brings others to the wrong places, that's not a good feet according to Christ. But if ang imong tiil, ning lakaw na bringing others to the right places, to the right things, I tell you, how beautiful are your feet. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, a lot of people are broken today. A lot of people are blinded today, but they don't know where to go. That's why a lot of them went to what? Mga voodoo, mga cults, and you go to internet searching for the truth, and you know, Satan is also there. That's why a lot of us fall prey to what? Mga kulto. Because no one. But listen, if you consider yourself a Christian, a true Christian in the biblical sense, if you call yourself a child of God, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, let me tell you this, use those beautiful feet of yours to bring others to Christ. Amen? Bring them. Invite them. Because I tell you, when these people are saved, when the destiny of these people, when their eternal destiny changed, before they're heading towards hell and they don't know it. Now, because they believe in Jesus Christ, they confess that Jesus is their Lord, now they're heading to heaven, I tell you, you've done them to them the greatest thing of all. See? When you help people change the direction of their lives, you've done the greatest thing. In fact, friends, listen. If some of your friends brought you to church, if some of your friends brought you to Jesus, I want you to say thank you for that person. Say thank you to that person. Right? I was talking, one of my Bible study group is a, you know, Chinese businessman, you know. He's attending our church, okay? And I asked him, you know, how you became a Christian? And you know what he said? Because he's a businessman, a policeman brought him to Christ. Okay? This policeman, he's a general. Of course, he's a general. He used his influence as a general. You know, I'm a general. And here's a businessman. This businessman needs his business to be signed by some police because I don't know, it has something to do with legalities. You know, this businessman needs this general to sign something. And the general knows, oh, you need my help. Influence. So this businessman goes to the house, share Jesus to this businessman. And of course, this businessman, totoo juga, dili signan imo ang imong, you know, clearance or whatever. And so I told him, are you thankful for that policeman? I'm sure ning yes ra kaadto because nakay intention dautan. His intention was also different. That policeman was only using his you know, his office to bring Christ to you, but I tell you, equal mong duha. Okay? You got your permit signed by this police, but then the most important thing, you got your name written in the book of life. See? You ought to be thankful for that general. I told him, look for that general once again. Thank him. Because you are now a Christian businessman because of what that police general did to you. My point to you, brethren, is this. Use whatever influence you have over other people. If you have the influence, if somebody, you know, natay si Wano term, utang na loob. If naitaw nga makaingong kagnana si utang na loob to you, use that. Okay? Tell that person, nakay utang na ko, so please go to my house. Di kay kamato, bayrito yung utang. And then share the gospel to that person. See? That's the greatest thing you can do. When you help people who are problematic, and find meaning and purpose in their lives in Jesus. I tell you, you have so beautiful feet. Amen? Now, let me just close with the last two verses, and then we're done, okay? The last two verses, verse 16 says, but not everyone welcomes the good news. I mean, the Bible warns us. Paul says, well, the good news is there. It's in the Old Testament. The prophets taught the Jews. They know about it, but they ignored it. So the point of Paul is this, not everyone will welcome. That's also true to you and to me today. Not everyone that you invite will come. Diba I told you, when you invite someone, Satan will work. Mukalit lang sakit yang tinan, dias mo nuriyakun. Okay? Or mo text na yun, something came up. But praise God, when people that you invite come, It's the work of God in their lives. Amen? Because I tell you, if there's one thing that Satan would love to do, he doesn't want people to go near to God. Because he's afraid when people go near to God, they will be saved. And he would lose one soul in hell. See? That's why I tell you, whenever you bring someone to Christ, it's a spiritual warfare, because not everyone will welcome. But friends, let me close with verse 17. And here's the crux of the matter. If people are saved by faith alone, how can that faith be generated? Remember, I told you that faith is a gift from God. But God will not simply give that faith to you directly. I mean, if God could give that to you, then gihatag na niya dito kasi mong balay. But God is waiting. There must be something, and then faith will be given. What is that something? Look at this. Let's end here. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, God is going to generate faith in our hearts, but that is dependent on the preaching of the Word of God, the Rhema Word of Christ. There must be hearing so that there is believing. Amen? People will not believe unless they hear something. That's why this is the commission for you and for me. How can they ever put their faith if they don't hear something? Unless you and I start talking about Jesus. Amen? Unless you and I start bringing them so that they can hear. Again, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. People need to hear the word of Christ so that they will have faith. Now, I'd like to close with Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Ingon si God, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And you know, the prophet Isaiah said this. And let's say this together as we close. Ready, go. And I said, "Here am I, send me." That's the commission. See? "Here am I, send me." Now that you know the truth, perhaps you know other people who are in trouble. Perhaps you know someone who is having problems with their sin or messed up lives. You know, God is very good in bringing messed up lives. Listen, God allows you to have messed up lives so that when you hear the message, you will become His messenger. See that? God uses our mess so that we will have all ears to hear the message. So that when we hear, when we have heard the message and there's faith, you and I become the messenger. So don't be afraid of mess. God has a good way of making a mess into a good message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your desire is for us to be changed. Your desire is for us to have transformed lives. And Lord, you know how evil we are, how bad we are. It's even shameful, Lord, to think or imagine the things that we've done in secret. Only you knows it, Lord. We are messed up people. And sometimes because we're messed up, we just love to mess others up. And so on. But thank you so much for the message today. That you love us, you care for us, you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that those who believe in Him in their hearts and confess in their mouths, they will be saved. Lord, Perhaps there are some people here tonight who are still in that mess. Perhaps there are men, women, couples, singles, parents who are in a mess right now. And Lord, you allow this mess to happen because you want us to draw near to you. Surely, Lord, bad things happen in our lives because the devil causes these bad things. But thank you, Lord, that you have this gracious act of using these messed up things so that they become a message of hope for us. So that this becomes reasons for us to draw near to you, to come near to you, to call upon you. And Lord, right now we are calling upon you. Now friends, brothers and sisters, I'd like you right now to call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. You know, if you're ashamed, maybe hinay lang. Jesus, I need you. Just a whisper. Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my business. I need you in my work. I need you in my studies. I need you in my messed up life. I need you in our my marriage. I need you in my personal life. Call on Him. Call on Him. He knows what's going on with your life. There is nothing you can hide. God sees everything. And the Holy Spirit is telling us, call on Him right now. Don't delay. Don't allow pride to hinder you. Pride will never help you. Pride will never solve your problems. It's the humility. Humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, I need you in my career. Lord Jesus, I need you in my future. Lord Jesus, I need you in my marriage. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friend, call Him right now. The Bible says those who draw near to Him, He will draw near to them. Draw near to Jesus right now. Ask Him to save your life. Ask Him to save your marriage. Ask Him to save your business. Whatever it is, bring them all to Christ. But most importantly, bring yourself to Jesus right now. Now, for those who are not yet sure about their salvation, I want you to move farther. I want you to do something radical today. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, would you want to do that right now? Humble yourself. Please pray with me. Pray with me with your mouth. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I messed up my life. I need to be saved. Save me from my sins. I confess and I believe with all my heart that you are Lord, that you are God, that you died on the cross, rose from the grave to give me everlasting life. I believe in you and I want to surrender my whole life to you. Save me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your promise that those who believe in you will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering? He's just a good God. Amen. Praise God.